Called and commanded by Jesus today in St. Luke's Gospel to accept the cost of being his disciple, we are strengthened by today's second lesson as we translate from Greek St. Paul's request in his letter to Philemon into our prayer of the day. Refresh my heart in Christ. Strengthened by the company, forgiveness, and eternal life of Jesus in his holy blessed communion sacrament, and recalling his grace in remembrance of holy baptism, we are strengthened in this hour as the prophet Moses teaches us in today's first lesson from Deuteronomy as we choose life. We choose life in Jesus our Savior and Lord, and we accept his cost of discipleship.
You know, as former president, Jayla's giving you the raspberry back there. Rise as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestor, the host of Jesus' holy communion banquet table, the sustainer of the eternal kingdom that is breaking in all around us. Amen. In holy baptism as the body of Christ, we died with Jesus so that we also live eternally with Jesus. Let us confess our sin to the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives and redeems us in Jesus. There is endless rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. We put our trust in these promises. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus always seeks us even when we are lost in our sin. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the Holy Trinity, the angels and all the saints in heaven at this great good news. Amen. Let us pray. Continue to direct us to fill only your will, O Lord God, our Father, in all of our actions, words, and deeds with the Holy Spirit's continual help and guidance, that everything we do begins, continues, and ends to fulfill your Son, Jesus' ministries and missions, so that for Jesus' sake we always glorify your holy name. And finally, by Jesus' forgiveness, grace, mercy, and eternal life, bring us to everlasting life in him, with you in the Holy Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples. All victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. All victims of natural disasters, including our brothers and sisters in this country and possibly Canada, as well as we know the many impacted in the Bahamas, that your relief would come not only through our prayers, but our love and our support, but particularly the Holy Spirit's help and guidance. All victims of human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The prophet Moses teaches the Israelites, as they are about to enter the Lord God's land promised to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this teaching, Moses lays out the stark choice before them. Choose life by loving and obeying the Lord God's commandments, or choose death by following other gods. The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Word of God, word of life. While St. Paul was in prison, he was aided by a runaway slave named Onesimus. The slave's master, Philemon, was a Christian friend of St. Paul. St. Paul told Onesimus to return to his master and encourage Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a Christian brother. The second lesson is from Philemon, chapters 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough to Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and also now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Word of God, word of life.
Today, Jesus teaches bluntly about some of the potential costs of being his disciple. Jesus' disciples know from the outset that being his disciple means renouncing all other allegiances or ways of living our lives that are not acceptable to Jesus. Jesus calls and commands us to keep Jesus and his ministries and missions first in all of our actions, words, and deeds, and the Holy Spirit's power helps and guides us to do so. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and Jesus turned and said to them in teaching, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If the king cannot, then, while the other king is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you did not give up all of your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here. We're grateful to be here to worship you. Grateful for those of us who were able to give blood today to do so as well, to give the gift of life. We're grateful, Lord, to know this is holy ground. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to be refreshed in your holy presence and then to be sent as we are refreshed in our prayers and our hymns, as well as the gospel and the lessons and the psalm and, of course, the Holy Communion banquet table. And in our fellowship, we are then sent out into the world in spite of hurricanes, natural disasters, human-made disasters, knowing that your kingdom is breaking in and you invite us to be part of it in our actions, words, and deeds. We come here to be fortified with you and then sent out into the battle to be received and sometimes rejected. But we know that the Holy Spirit always helps and guides us, and we're thankful for it. And thank you always for reminding us to be your church, not only prays for people, but to take Holy Gospel, Good News, and Holy Communion Sacrament to our brothers and sisters permanently or temporarily unable to be with us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today. Celebrate this gospel from St. Luke. I have to tease you. If you really think they were going to stay, if you read 21 chapters of anything, that's the one. That's one chapter. That's the whole thing. So I was sitting. I was going to. Wow, we're going to be here a while. 21 chapters. No, you did great with the pronunciation. That is not easy. Yeah. Oh, do you? Yeah. We have a translation guide, too, that does it sort of like the psalm. It tells you where the inflections are. So, no, you're right. I'm just teasing you. In this great good news of this gospel, the first thing I thought, well, I knew this gospel was coming up. I figured I'd call Pastor Chris and say, you know, I'm not feeling so well today. I think you should take this gospel. I mean, how come Florida State didn't play Boise State over this gospel weekend? I think it would be really cool if that's the first text that Pastor Chris had. Here, welcome to Chris Lutheran Church. But if I was going to write a book on the Gospels, I would have a chapter in it that would say something along these lines. The things that Jesus said and taught that I wish he hadn't said and taught. There'd be many stories in there, particularly this one. But one you also know pretty well, and to give you an idea of where I'm going with what would be in that. If you remember one time when Jesus was only at a dinner party with his disciples and some other Jewish people only, and a woman burst into this dinner party. She interrupted it, and she prostrated herself at Jesus' feet. And she said, Lord and Master, my daughter is sick. Cure her, please. And Jesus says this, and it would be in my chapter. Woman, it is not right to take the children's food and feed it to the dogs. Yes, he just called her a dog. You remember her response. She says, looking up, yet Master, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. He used her to teach. And she said, woman, your faith is great. Your daughter is healed. But I want to say, sometimes I'm keeping a list of these things when you get to heaven. Jesus, did you really have to call somebody a dog? I mean, just me? I guess it is just me. This gospel I would put in there. Yes, Jesus in front of a large crowd. If you do not hate your father and your mother, your spouse and your children, your siblings, and your life itself, and you cannot be my disciple. Yikes, I think that's going to be the first part of the chapter, don't you? You really like hearing those words from Jesus today? So if you want to have some fun, I only told the middle service this. When you leave here, go to a drive-thru, and when you pull up to pay, say, I hate you, and Jesus said I could. In this... I tried to find the context. I said, well, he's always teaching, and he's been traveling, this particular part of Luke's gospel, St. Luke. So I said, maybe we could figure out why he said these things by going back and seeing what he was doing before. But in the context, I'm telling you, there's no help. In fact, it actually gets a little bit worse. What he has just taught is something because someone has yelled out in the crowd, blessed is the one who eats the righteous bread of heaven. Jesus stops and turns again and teaches, says, I want to tell you a story. There was a king who was having a banquet, and he invited everyone in town to come. Some said they were going to be out of town. Some said they were busy. Some said they had chores, and all of them declined. And the king got mad. He told his servants, now you go out and you find the blind, the lame, the outcast, and you invite them to my dinner table. And they all came. And the servant said, but there's still room. And he sent his servants out again. Now you go into the countryside and gather everyone you can find and bring them to my dinner table so they can celebrate with me. And you go back out and you tell everyone who rejected me that they will never eat at my table. You really take some time to analyze what he's doing there. Basically saying, if you reject me, then I will reject you and you will never be at my holy banquet table of heaven. I don't think those are words we want to hear, are they?
No.
Okay, you are awake. That's good. Okay, so context doesn't help. All right, I kept digging for you and for me. I was still getting ready to call Pastor Chris. Okay, let's look at the Greek. Maybe there's another translation for the word hate. Sorry. When you go there, this particular Greek word, there is one and one and only translation in English. Hate. All right. Now, I'm almost off the hook because I'm going to find a parallel. Where did Jesus teach this in any other Gospels? Thank goodness he taught this in St. Matthew. Maybe that'll help us get us off the hook. No. It's a softer version, but it doesn't get us off the hook from St. Luke. Jesus said in teaching the crowds in St. Matthew's account, anyone who does not love me more than father, mother, spouse, child, brother, sister, or life itself cannot be my disciple. That doesn't help us when he said in St. Luke's version, hate. So what do we do? What are you going to do? This is pretty cool as a pastor. I can just say to you today, you know, I hate all of you because Jesus said so. You don't think that's funny. I do. What's Jesus teaching? Get your arms around it. Jesus said it. He's master of the universe. He said it. He meant it. It's not up for us to know everything that he says about what it means. Anybody who preaches today or reads this and says, here's exactly what Jesus Christ meant when he said this, is not helpful and not telling you the truth. The same people who are doing that, or sometimes you see them on TV in particular, they will be saying, here's exactly what the letter of Revelation means. Nobody knows exactly what the letter of Revelation means except God himself. So if you want the answer today to exactly what Jesus said and meant, you must meet him in heaven and get the answer directly from him. Nobody from this earth. That's the answer for that piece. I know it doesn't sound like much, but don't you have some questions that you want to ask Jesus? Like, why is Philemon not 21 chapters? The only place we're going to get the answers there. So what do we do with this? Finish the gospel. If you want to follow me, you must give up all of your possessions. It's a key sentence in everything he's teaching. No one has done this yet. When you go to get your cake, drop your keys off, your jewelry. I want the deeds to your homes. Go back to your homes, clean them out, bring all your things, put it here to follow the gospel. We'll pay off the sanctuary quicker.
Yeah.
Go back to the story of the king and connecting to what Jesus is saying. And he has every right to do this. He is the king. He's saying, what in your life are you putting before me? I invite you to the heavenly banquet, and I am more important than your mother or your father or your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or your siblings. Or your life itself. What is in between you and me? If it comes in between us, I am more important than that. My Father said so. I am the one who is beloved, with whom He is well pleased. And I sit at His right hand. Jesus is angry today because He knows that's what's happening, is they're getting ready to crucify Him down the road here shortly in this gospel. They're putting everything in between them and Him. And He's telling us, rightfully so, that if we call Him Lord and Master, He is first in everything. So, everything we have is His. And then He says, smile, my child, you get it. But there's a lot of hate and violence, all sowed by the evil one. Oppression, sexism, racism, rampant, not just in recent times, since the beginning of the fall. The evil one's out there stirring all that up, and those things get between us and the Lord. And sometimes the Lord says, but I'm still king. Have faith. This Wednesday, take some time, say some prayers. One of your prayers Wednesday, I hope you do, on the unfortunate anniversary and commemoration of 9/11. Give thanks to Jesus Christ for conquering hate. Because what happened on that day, and continues to happen in not so grand ways, those people were fooled by the evil one. They hated so much, thinking it was in the name of God. God has conquered. New York was rebuilt. Hate has never conquered this world, and it never will, because it's God, His Father's, and He's the victor. Give Him thanks. When something horrific comes, He brings healing. And He's always there. And we need to pick that up and say, oppression has been conquered, even though it still exists. So has hate and violence. And we can help people turn from those ways. That should get you excited. Because that's not the intent of those who did that. They wanted hate to rule. And He will have none of it. And it's been going on a long time. But He's still winning the battle. Aren't we glad? And don't let anybody talk about Hurricane Dorian. Oh, my heavens. Those people, how God, why would God let them happen? God's creation was good until Adam and Eve sinned. And then this world fell into chaos and sometimes natural disasters. And Jesus says, I'm still king. And I will repair in my time. And I invite you to be a part of it, to pray, as well as to give of your possessions as you're able. I still remember a trip to a football game. FSU was playing Miami in Miami. It was right after Hurricane Andrew had hit. I have never seen anything like that in my life. It was on a scale of the time that I saw the Grand Canyon. You don't forget those things, do you? Driving down the turnpike for as far as you could see, mile after mile, acre after acre, houses flattened. Every tree, I will never forget this, from east to west was laying to the west because the wind blew so long. Everything that was green or vegetation was flattened. Jesus is the victor. Drive down the turnpike now. What do you see? Homes restored. Trees and the good creation coming back. Because He's still in charge. And I tell you that, amen and hallelujah. And the devil can't stand it. And invite Him in to any conflicts in your life. He says, I'm more important than that conflict. And I will fix it in my time. And don't you like it when Jesus lets you laugh about those things when they get fixed? Yeah, just because you're small in number doesn't mean you have to be quiet. If you keep it up, I'll just keep talking more and more with my hands. Joanne taught me. Yeah. So, exactly. Driving back and forth to Jacksonville for the football game up there. Well, what game in Tallahassee? It wasn't a football game. I don't know what happened in Tallahassee, but I needed an oil change. Set it up. I went down to Hilton Automotive on Thursday. I use Hilton Automotive down here, right next to Sunoco. If you're going south on 441, you can almost walk there from here. I've known Don since 2002. Don's a very deep, devout Christian man. So is his wife. so devout that when they had some kids that were marginalized and in need, their family has all left the nest. They adopted these two girls to bring them up. He goes to Village View because the kids go to the school there, preschool. He's an active member. Honest man. So I go in, not expecting anything, but God was going to make me laugh. Oh, and I love those moments. I treasure them. So I go in, and Tom, who works for Don behind the counter, takes the clipboard, they put your keys on, and goes into the back. So it's just Don and me. And Don goes, I got to tell you something. And I'm going, oh, this is going to be good. What? He said, a woman came in here this week. I don't know how they got onto this conversation. Don had this big grin. And she said to me, I am so happy that that pastor who ruined the church on the lake is gone and out of there, and the church is coming back to life because he's gone. Oh, I was laughing, and you know what Don Hilton said to her? Ma'am, I would like to actually give you the facts. I know Pastor Dave. I've known him for almost 20 years. And he was not the cause of all the stuff that happened over there. And we were just dying laughing. And then Don goes, I probably lost a customer that day. Why did he speak up? Not for me, because Jesus, sometimes battling against untruth, you got to stand up and raise your voice. He had the opportunity and he seized it. I could care less. This stuff's going to chase after me till I'm long gone. God's a victor. Because God brought victory. Now there's two churches. That's incredible good news. So then the customers come in and Don and I are still laughing. Everybody wonders what we're up to. And a woman sits down by the door. My truck was ready. There were three of us in there. And she stops me before I go out. She said, where are you, pastor? I said, Christ Lutheran Church. We're just up the street here, temporary, moving into a new building, Lord willing, in October. She goes, oh, I'm a member of Hope Lutheran Church. I said, that's really cool. We partner with you at Lake Weir Middle School with a thing called The Rock. She said, really? I didn't know anything about that, but I'm going to go back and tell everybody. I said, amen and hallelujah. Dawn is laughing. I'm laughing. Isn't God great all the time? We have two churches taking care of Lake Weir Middle School. I don't care what people think about me. The victory is we need to hate poverty. And we're in the middle of it making it better. On behalf of the Lord who's first. Isn't that great good news? Out of an oil change. And so I read their new weekly newsletter because they give updates on The Rock. Again, The Rock over there is run by Fred O'Brien, who Louise now knows. Fred and the team, who Louise serves there as well, is the one that staff it Mondays and Wednesdays. They give out shoes, clothes, food, school supplies. This was classic in their letter this week. We still need, and they have the girls' sizes for clothes. We still need sneakers. We still need cases of food. That's what they do. They have 45 to 50 kids who come there in need every week. And then it said this, and God, get ready to smile. We are very blessed with a generous donation of enough school supplies for the whole year. We don't need any more. Guess where that came from? God is good all the time. And then I asked Louise, I said, would you be willing to bring us back the news on what size sneakers they need and what size girls' clothes they need and what kind of food? Guess what Louise is going to do? I can't wait to read their newsletter. Because of very generous donations, we do no longer need sneakers. We don't need girls' clothing anymore. Isn't that great? Because we serve the King and the Master and He's first, and those kids are being raised up. And now they know that they're important. And that's incredible good news. No matter what someone says about me. And hell about a roof! I was making sure you're awake. There's pain in Jesus' voice today, not just anger. Because He's going to hear these words. In my opinion, theologically, Jesus hates three things. Sin, evil, and death. And He's headed to take them all. And when He takes on our sin on His cross, He's taking on evil and our death. And at that point, his Father in heaven says, Son, now you and I cannot be connected because you know I hate sin and I won't tolerate it. Is there greater love ever? And the evil one thought he won. In this gospel today, the Father raised him up in victory, and he sits at the right hand, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master of the universe, everywhere, omnipotent. And he is our firm foundation. And he is the King that leads us into battle. And he is always the victor. Now it's almost time for you to get cake. Thanks be to God. Amen. So you give me a week off and I get extra revved up.
God, our Father of every blessing, at your Son Jesus' Holy Communion banquet table, he embraces us face to face. And in the precious gift of Jesus' body and blood, we are granted his forgiveness and eternal life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to send us now to shine with Jesus' humility and generosity, and bear witness to the one we receive and serve, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Grace God, our Father, your Son Jesus continues to take the form of a servant, offering himself as comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to your often sick and hurting world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to anoint with a servant heart all of your people who take Jesus' holy gospel of good news and Holy Communion sacrament to our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, in skilled care, assisted living, hospice, and hospitals. Continue to grant Jesus comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to all of your people who feast on Jesus' precious body and blood and receive his words of eternal life. May all of your people recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue to receive and serve Jesus, the one true good shepherd and treasure entrusted to us by the help and guidance and power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continue to bless us and sustain us with Jesus' freedom, grace, justice, mercy, and peace now and forever. Amen. And as Pastor Carlson always said to me, yeah, I know. I was married once, I remember. The Lord be with you now. And Don will dismiss us.
Go in peace, live in humility and generosity as Jesus teaches us. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day.